So I don't have the ear thing to fall off. I made sure I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I don't know if any of you have baseball skills, but if I stray away from this pulpit, somebody throws something at me. I need to just park my little hiney right here and not move. It's really good. It's really great to be here as always. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much just for the joy of being together with one another and with you. And as always, we thank you that your Spirit is in us and among us. And we pray, come Holy Spirit, would you speak through me the words that you want to speak in the ways that you want to speak them, and for all of us, including me, as we hear your word, Holy Spirit, would you move in us? Would you soften us? Would you take it down deep? Would it be transformational? And would it bring glory and honor to you, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking to start with in Matthew 5:14. It's a pretty famous passage. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. When I was a young lad, I'd regularly go hunting with my dad and grandpa, my uncles and brothers and cousins on the Snake River. Just next to the Idaho border. Anybody ever been to the Snake River? It's a beautiful place, but it's rough country with steep mountains, lots of sagebrush, and just enough rattlesnakes to keep you on your toes. And first day of hunting season, the way we would do it, we had stands. It's interesting, we called them stands. We probably should have called them sits, because a stand was a place on the top of the mountain where you would get there before sunrise, and you would sit down, and you hoped a buck would walk by that you could shoot. And if you were lucky as a family, you'd get a few bucks the first day, but we never tagged out. Which meant that the following day, the powers that be, grandpa and dad and some of the older uncles, they would get together and they would plan a drive for the day. And a drive is basically redneck to let's make the young lad suffer. Suffer we did. So grandpa and a few of the other older uncles would be at the top of the very long canyons in their stands. And the young lads, and they didn't, I mean, my dad and uncles would pair up with us. And we'd walk up these long canyons. And it was the idea to drive the deer up to grandpa and the others. And the drives would start just after lunch, just when it was hottest. And up we'd go. And there was scree, so that shale rock that you'd step on, and you'd take one, and you'd go down two steps. And you'd battle that. There's brush and sagebrush to push through, but at least it was hot with rattlesnakes to worry about. Oh, and forgot the poison ivy. That was scattered about. And the plan was you'd finish the drive, be at camp before the sun would go down. And sometimes that actually worked. But other times it took a lot longer than we thought it would. You somehow got off the route that you were supposed to, and the sun would go down, and you were still out there. The Snake River, if you've been there, it's the kind of country that when the sun goes down, two things happen really quick. First thing, it gets cold in a hurry. So noon, it might be 90. By late afternoon, it might be in the 70s. The sun goes down, and maybe an hour later, it's in the 40s. And it's heading towards freezing. And it also gets dark really, really quick. And it's a different kind of darkness. The closest town was about 40 hours away. And there were very few houses, and they were all down at the, kind of on the gravel road. And so you basically, if it wasn't cloudy, you had the stars to guide you. And if you didn't have that, it was just pitch dark. And we never packed flashlights, because why would you pack a flashlight when you were supposed to get in before dark? We didn't know what a cell phone was back in the day. And nature, if you live in the city and the town, it's a tame thing. You know, nature for me, where Joy and I have lived, we sit out and there's the water kind of facility where it's 80 acres fenced around, and we see the deer and the wild turkeys, and it's glorious. But out there, there's this low-grade primal fear that gets worse every minute that you're out there after dark. Are you heading in the right direction? A couple of times, one of us would find ourselves looking down a cliffside that we almost walked down. There's a danger to it. But then suddenly, you saw the campfire, and you knew you were all right. And all those fears, they're gone. And you knew, now you had direction, which way to go. You're not afraid anymore of being lost. In just a few more minutes, there's going to be warmth and food. Grandpa Dylan, he could tell stories. Some of them were even true. It was the joy of being around the people that you loved and trusted. It was community. It was family. And that, friends, is a city on a hill. People traveling on a long journey would suddenly see the city, and they knew it wasn't going to be that much longer, and they'd be inside the safety of its walls, no worry of robbers, of wild animals. They could see the hope of shelter, of warmth, of good food, and if they were coming in at night, more's the comfort. And friends, in these troubled times, there are a lot of people traveling in the dark. Valley Covenant brothers and sisters, do you resonate with being a city on a hill? Do you hear that and do you say, yep, that is us? Or is it just Jesus addressing his disciples 2,000 years ago? I'll ask it again. Is this people of God, is this community called to be a city on a hill? And not only that, is that how Valley Covenant sees itself? And if so, how are you living that out? And not only how are you living that out, how are you visioning that out? How are you dreaming with God that out? It's interesting, the sociologists, the U.S., we're not in a post-Christian state yet, although I think places like Oregon might be there. But in places like Western Europe, where the church isn't growing, and I do want to say there are many places in the majority world where the church is strong and growing, so thank God it's not all about the West, and it's not only mainly about the West. But in these post-Christian societies, they're finding that as the church and Christianity is losing its significance, depression and anxiety is on the rise. And of course, there are many reasons for this depression, for this anxiety that is going on. But part of that is the loss of the church. Because our church, for all of our warts, is still a place of warmth, of relationship, of real support and love. Your yoga group or your book club or whatever, they don't organize meals for you when you get sick. They probably aren't going to make a lot of sacrifices for you. I grew up old style Baptist. They ain't going to pass the hat for you when you need that. They might be kind, but when crises hit, they probably aren't going to make a lot of sacrifices for you. That's what the church does. That's what you all do. Do you see yourself as an essential place of hope and warmth and joy and love to the world around you all? Because I think you are. And I think it's really important that if you don't see yourselves that way, we don't see ourselves that way, that we do. There's something, and even on the ride over here, this kind of came to mind, and praise the Lord for the internet and Google, because I can think of it. Keystone Species. A keystone species is a species that if they die out, or if they're kind of have a weak presence there, it affects the ecosystem around them in terrible ways. Beavers are a keystone species. They make dams, and because of that, there are wetlands. And if you don't have wetlands, it wreaks havoc on the environment. And there's places that there's animals that need these wetlands, or they don't thrive, they don't flourish. Bees are the same way. I mean, people are talking about bees a lot. They pollinate. We don't have bees, we don't have flowers, we don't have berries, we don't have food, and then that affects the animals, and then on and on and on. Do you see yourselves, Valley Covenant, are you a keystone species in your neighborhoods and in this neighborhood? Because I think you are. I mentioned this before, but I respect God and I trust Him, but wow, man, working through people, that's your best plan? Well, that's His best plan. So I trust it. It's crazy to me, but I trust it. It's, of course, it's His Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is definitely not dependent on us to move. But we are the temple. You all are the temple with God's very Spirit in you as a community and as individuals. And I would even say, is it rare? Perhaps that God moves in powerful ways to bless communities, to bless neighborhoods, if He's not working through His people. It's Valley Covenant. It's us as individuals. Is it critical that you exist, that Valley Covenant exists, that the people of God are here? Is it essential? Are there individuals and neighborhoods where you are the best hope to get out of the darkness, to get out of the wilderness, to get away from the wild animals and the robbers, to get out of the state of this horrible state with living without Jesus? Are you the best hope? I think you are. Do you see yourselves as God ordained to be the best hope for spiritual and perhaps physical food, for safety, comfort, love, joy, hope? That there are groups of people who God said, out of my love for them, I have put Valley Covenant in their midst. The people of God in this congregation. And they are the best place. They are the best hope for them to come out of the darkness and the cold. Are you a Keystone species? And if you don't see yourselves that way, my friends, you aren't being modest. You're perhaps being apathetic, where you don't care, or at best, and it's not a very good best, you're exercising weak faith because you don't think God could possibly do that for you as individuals and Valley Covenant as a church. And please hear this as a gentle rebuke. Because you know I love you, and I feel like I have the relationship to say things like this to you out of love. And because I look at you all, and I see the treasure. We know it's in jars of clay, right? But I see the treasure in each and every one of you that calls Jesus my Lord and Savior. I see it. I see the power of God's Spirit in each one of you. The very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you and corporately inside of you all. I see love, and I experience that, and I see joy, and I see maturity when I'm around you, and I see great hope for the spaces you inhabit. I see a Keystone species. We make a mistake if we focus only on the geographic fixedness of this image. If we make out to be that the local church at the time, Sunday at 10:30, at this immobile location, people come to us. Who is Jesus mainly preaching to in Matthew 5? Well, Matthew 5, 1 says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. It's his disciples. The people who are going all over Israel with Jesus, who maybe have a cloak, but they're not saying, come to us. They're saying, we will come to you. A lot of us remember the TV show MASH. I loved MASH. Mobile Army Service Hospitals. They went to the people that in need. We go into a world around us, and we bring hope, the best hope. Make no mistake about that. We bring safety. We bring love. We bring joy of the city on a hill to those around us, to our neighbors, to our classmates, to our extended families, our friends, the people that we just happen to meet, the people that we work with. And the city on a hill is communal. It's not individual. I don't bash the United States. I'm grateful for many things, but we are hyper-individualistic as a culture, and we need to repent of that. And it's in our church. It's in me. But you all are a community of comfort. You're a community of encouragement. You're a community of challenge and love to one another and to others. We all are meant to be in this together. Two-thirds, and I've probably said this before here, but I say it all the time, two-thirds of the yous in the New Testament are you alls. A Christianity that is focused on individualism, just you and me, God, is not a biblical Christianity, period. It is inherently deficient. We cannot have, so I realize I'm speaking to people because of physical reasons they cannot attend, so this is not addressed to you, but this nonsense of just like, I'll just stay at home and I will put on the best preacher and I will worship by myself, and somehow that is Christianity in its fullness is rubbish, it's trot, it is chicken poo. It is not a faith of flourishing and abundance. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We need each other. I need others to stir me up so that I can be full of love and joy, that I can fulfill my great purposes of being about the good things of God. And we need one another for this. And it's good. It's a gift. And I want to say to you that by God's grace, you are already living this out. I know you well enough. I've seen this. I've heard some of the stories. You are already a city on a hill, the manifestation of God's kingdom. But I charge you to want more, to not settle. You have all seen people who God gets a hold of them, and it's a 180. And some of you have lived this. Some of us, if you're like me, I grew up in the church and I slowly became a Christian. And I don't necessarily have that 180 story. It's a great story, but it's not. But it's when people and they're older, and maybe they've lived life without Jesus, and they know what that's like. And Jesus gets a hold of them, and it's boom. And their life is so different. And it's so good. And they love Jesus and they gush about him. And they know that it doesn't mean that there's not suffering or challenges, but its life is just different. You've experienced that. You've seen this. Want more. I love this place. I do. I'm grateful for Valley Covenant. But God has just scratched the surface of what he wants to do in you all together. He's just scratched the surface. And if you don't believe that, you need to pray. Does God want to do, I'm serious, I'm very serious. Does God want to do things in you all that he would do them and it would take your collective breath away? That you would be in awe. You would say, man, how could God possibly do this? That you would see, man, when Jesus said, I just need a mustard seed of faith. And you would say, man, Lord, you weren't kidding when you said that. Valley Covenant, be great. Be humble. Be God glorifying. But do great things. Can I give you a vision? It's my vision. You can discern it. You can, seriously, you don't have to embrace it. But what I mean about being a mobile city that goes out to those around you is, I mean that, and I'm not really sure if that was the best sentence. Let me take a step back. I mean that we're a mobile city. Let me just say it more simply. We're meant to go to those in need. But saying that, do you realize your location? How amazing your location is? I mean, wow, right across from the front of Churchill High School. That almost gives me shivers. And you have this cool, big youth center. And it makes me go, I volunteer with Youth for Christ. They have a building. It used to be a church. It's right across from Hamlin Middle School. It's the same setup. Friday, they use that building all the time. Friday, they do free breakfasts. Last Friday, they fed 50 kids. Monday and Wednesdays, Monday's club and Wednesday's drop-in, they average about 40 kids. They teach kids how to fix. They use that space. It's right across the road from them, like yours. Do you think, and I'm going to back off a little bit, because you got to discern this, but do you think God just happened to give Valley Covenant its location and its buildings, but it has nothing to do with Churchill High School? I'm just going to keep my head down. Here's what I think. I look at this and I'm like, God must really trust you all, and I mean that, to be stewards of his resources, to put you in this location, to put you with these resources, to give you such potential. That's what I think. I don't even know, Young Life used to be here. I don't think they're here anymore. There's no Young Life. There's no Youth for Christ. But I have this Chinese, there's this term called guanxi. It means connections. I got connections. I think a lot of you probably have them too, but if you don't, you can use my connections. I know the YFC director over Eugene Springfield. I know the chair of Young Life in Eugene. I know people that if you went to them and you said, you know what, we're willing to pray, we're willing to vision, we're going to get $20,000 allocated. If you send us a good person to work with, we will dream with them of how we can use this space. I mean, just think about that. Kids love, the middle schoolers used to scare me. They don't scare me anymore. They're lovely kids. And they actually respect, I mean, I'm 57. I view me as kind of a grandpa, let alone you all, right? but I'm serious. I think they would love it. Yeah, I mean, just think of that. You're serving breakfast to 50 kids from Churchill, and they're interacting with you, and it's a city on a hill. And that some of these kids, they don't have enough food. That's just the reality. And they certainly don't have enough love. They don't have enough joy. They don't have enough hope. And they're with you. And you're doing other things. You're serving coffee. You open up a space to a youth worker to work at. I mean, I'll stop. I could come up with 20 ideas right now. Not kidding. With how this space could be used as a city on a hill to Churchill. Is all this a little daunting? I mean, a mobile city of joy. Best hope, I mean the best hope of those around you. Crazy ideas about Churchill. I hope it's daunting because God dreams are. And the sense of daunting is meant to push us to pray because we have to. Because there's going to be bumps and bruises and obstacles and dreams are going to seemingly die. And we need God in this. Hey, I mentioned prayer. Imagine that. God's kingdom, that sense of a city on a hill, almost never comes in great power if there isn't corporate prayer. I absolutely want to grow in my individual times of prayer. I do. But great moves of God almost always come through corporate prayer. I'm sure there's some out there. I can't think of any. Can you tell me after service? Can I be honest with y'all? It saddens me that you don't have a prayer time corporately. I'm not saying everybody should do this, and I really, if you know me, it's not a sense of condemnation, it's not y'all suck or anything like that, but I want you all, I look at you, and the best hope for the places that you've been put in is you all, and for that hope to happen, you all need to pray. And you all need to pray together. And you're like, man, great moves of God, I typically don't, again, you can argue with me. I won't argue back. We need to pray. It's a hard thing for Westerners to pray. If you did it, I would encourage you to just, talk together, talk to leadership and just say, hey, we want to do it. And I would encourage you to pray not for your own needs, which there's a place to have prayer times. I'm a part of that too. But to just say, we're going to pray for our neighbors. We're going to pray for the school. We're going to pray for our friends. We're going to pray for all the people that don't know Jesus yet. And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray more than we talk about praying. And we're just going to do it 30 or 40 minutes. We're going to start small. And we can zoom people in and use the technology. It's not that hard. But we're going to start a first step. Again, I'm not a part of your church. You can take it or leave it. But I love Churchill. And I love your neighbors just like you all do. And I see the treasure in the jars of clay. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, this is one of those verses that gets misused and abused all the time. Wow, I'm asking for that BMW, I'm probably a Ferrari guy, though, but in my name doesn't mean I pray, God, give me a Ferrari, in Jesus' name, amen. It's like, in your character, in the sense of who you are, according to your will, I'm going to pray this in my name. I think being a city on a hill to your neighbors, to those around you, to potentially Churchill High School, I think that's in Jesus' name. And friends, I will tell you, every time, I have prayed something in Jesus' name, it has happened. Period. This is what I saw surrounding it. I wasn't going to originally say it. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Greater works. I'm not sure if I have the faith for that yet. But don't you want to get there? I've seen it in China. China in the 70s, the revival that happened in there, I saw it. It was greater works. It was God working through his church. It was hundreds of thousands of healings. It's possible. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's right after that. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Matthew 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask them? I think that's praying in Jesus' name. And many of you know that it's continuing asking, it's continually seeking, it's continuing knocking. It's not a one and done, but it's a hunger and thirst for this to happen. And you're going to keep praying for it until it happens because you believe that God wants it to happen. By the way, the yous in verses 7, are they singular or plural? Ask and it shall be given to you. Well, of course you know the answer because I've already... It's you all, right? It's corporate. It's the two-thirds. We don't just ask by ourselves, for ourselves. We do it in community. Do you know that you all are my heroes? That you are my heroines? That I've known some of you for 35 years. And it's a powerful thing to have journeyed with God, saying yes to him for decades. And it's a powerful thing to have journeyed with him for a long time and continue to love him and those around you. You know, I love your community, and it's a warm place. And you greet new people, and there's a love and there's a friendliness. There are some powerful things already at work. But I want to ask you a few what ifs. What if the greatest things you did for God, is those of us with a little bit of age, we still have egos, but it's not as big as it used to be, right? What if the greatest things you did were in your 90s? Or 80s? Is that possible? Did God do that? Surely they're not biblical. Well, wait, there are biblical models of that. 70s? You know, what if it's like, it doesn't matter how old you are. What if it's like the future? God could use you even more to bless the world. What if? What if you just really, you grabbed a hold of this and you prayed and you visions. What would it look like for this place to be a city on a hill? Your prayers now are more powerful than they were in the past. The prayers of righteous men and women availeth much. Man, I'll take your prayers. A group like you, I'll take your prayers. I'll take them over the 20-somethings. And I love the 20-somethings, but I'll take your prayers because I think there's a depth and there's a maturity for them. And if you all got praying for something and you asked for it in Jesus' name, Can't hear that online. I just want to end with, because I love kind of the what follows this. You all, my friends, my heroes, are the light of the world now and in the future. You all now and in the future are a city of safety and love and joy, set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your all's light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, your great works, and give glory to your Father who is heaven.